Thank you, Carlos. I'm going to finish up the series I've been doing on being converted. Started off talking just about converted to Christ. That should be our emphasis. That should be our goal. There is nothing else that should replace Christ. But unfortunately, it's easy to substitute. It's easy to focus on something that's maybe popular or even important and slide it in there, or have it be the primary motivation and reason behind why we would be converted. And so first we talked about how we can be converted to knowledge. We can be converted to being right. Everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be the one who has all the answers. And if that's what we're going for wanting to be the one who has all the answers and to be right and have all this religious expertise, if that's why we're wanting to become a Christian or to follow God or to be identified as a Christian, that's not good enough. Surrendering to Christ is the only real motivation that counts. And then after that, we talked about how you can be converted to acceptance. Churches should be comfortable accepting places, at least a good portion of the time, where you feel welcome at home, where you don't feel like you have to pretend, where you can be honest, and where you can feel like you're part of a real family. And those are great things. But if that's the reason why you would become a Christian, that's not near enough. You don't want the acceptance of people. You don't want the acceptance of even good people. You should want the acceptance of Christ. And this week, we're going to talk about being converted to safety. Safety is a very popular, important topic in our culture and world anymore. It's almost become an idol. That safety above everything else. We have to be safe. Safe, safe, safe. And all of our cars and houses and everything. Now, if you want to get legislation passed, just tack the name safe on it. And it's sure to go through Congress very quickly because no one wants to vote for something that would not be safe. Safety is everything. Even if it's not practical, we want to make sure that it's safe. Well, we want our lives to be safe and secure. We like that stability. And if you think that Christ will bring some stability to your life, I don't doubt that. Being a Christian can help your life out in many great and positive ways, but if you simply want that stable, good life that's, you know, dependable and reliable, that's still not good enough. It has to be to Christ and to Christ alone, our conversion. And I made an illustration over the past couple of weeks, and that is a conversion van. I had one when I was younger. My parents bought one. They thought it was the greatest invention ever, that all three boys could each have our own seat and not be within touching distance of each other. But a conversion van, somebody, you know, Ford or Chevy or Dodge builds the van in the factory. Another company gets it and starts to tweak it out to make it nice. They lower it, softer suspension, make it a much more relaxed and comfortable place to be. And so that converted to knowledge would be like taking a van and souping it up, putting a big engine in it, maybe a nice paint job, a spoiler on the back, make it look like the A-team van even. You know, that impressive, that people would notice your van and go, wow, look at that. You know, because that's the idea. With knowledge, look how much I understand. Look how smart I am. Look at all the things I figured out. Well, it's still a van. You've made it look nicer. You've made it more impressive. Maybe the exhaust sounds louder and rumbles more, but it's still just a van. You haven't really been converted, truly. You haven't been changed. You've just been polished and upgraded. And then the idea of being accepting, being comfortable, well, that's the nice leather bucket seats and the CD player and heated and cool leather seats and curtains in the windows and a nice, comfortable, relaxing place to be. Well, that's all right, but it's still just a van. You want to be changed. We want to be changed. We don't want to be just a person anymore. We want to be made in the image of Christ Himself, who is more than a person, is the Son of God. And so just making it a more comfortable place to be should not be our goal. And then this week, well, safety, put in the airbags, side airbags, back airbags, front airbags everywhere, make it a big bubble car. Seat belts, all kinds of child restraints, and 5-star safety crash ratings and all that. I mean, you could really make it an iron cage if you wanted to, you know, really emphasizing the safety. Well, it's still a van. It hasn't truly been changed. It's been upgraded, but it hasn't been changed. And last week I made the comparison, well, what are we wanting to be changed into? If we don't want to be a van anymore, what do we want to be? And I made an illustration about, put on wings and point us up. Make us a rocket. Because that's really where we're going and what we want. We don't want to be moving around down here anymore. We want to be headed up there. Our goal and our prize and our eyes fixed up there. And so we don't want to be a van anymore. We want Christ to take us and change us into a rocket ship. And as I was praying last week and this week, I remember something was bugging me. I've seen that somewhere before. And so I have a clip for you. It's an episode. It's a little segment of an episode of a TV show called Top Gear. It's British. You'll see the logo up in the top. And you'll hear him speaking in English accents. And this show is, I like watching it. It's funny. It's not always as appropriate as it should be, or they aren't necessarily, it's not for everybody. British humor, I don't know. It makes me laugh some, but one thing they do is they like to drive fast cars, and then they like to do really silly, goofy stuff with cars. And that's what this is about. They're taking something called a Reliant Robin, a three-wheeled car that was only made in Britain, and they're going to do something extremely silly with it, and I wanted to show it to you. So.
Yes, it's been around for 30 years, and for 29 of those years, it's been a complete joke. Now then, we're going to see if the Reliant Robin has the makings of a spaceship.
Right, gentlemen, what we want from you is the most difficult type of space rocket, a space shuttle. This has to work properly. It has to have the big fuel tank, it has to have the booster rockets, they all have to separate, and most importantly, we have to be able to bring it back down under control to a landing.
This, I think, is the answer. We put a more powerful version of whatever this is to our space shuttle. Then we can take control of it from the ground after it's jettisoned its rockets and fly it in by remote. It's a good plan. We've just got to get good at flying.
That's a solid rocket booster. There are two of those. That hasn't even got its nose cone on yet. It's actually a bit bigger than that.
But it's... I was thinking firework on a stick. I know.
So was I. But that isn't the biggest bit.
No, the external fuel tank was the biggest bit, complete with extra rockets in the bottom. Then there were more rockets in the Reliant, and explosive bolts to separate everything. The whole construction was mind-bogglingly complicated.
What occurs to me now is the list of things to go wrong.
Bang on time for its date with destiny, the Reliant Robin had arrived. That's why.
How are you going to use it again?
All right. Thank you, bearing with me. I thought it couldn't have fit better, because that's what I'm talking about, is strapping a rocket to the thing and going up. But you can also notice the problem. Cars weren't meant to do that. That even with all those rocket scientists who helped them design that, and the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars they must have poured into that, and rocket fuel alone, much less everything else, it still didn't work. It didn't separate. They weren't able to land it. It didn't quite do what they
It's part of the show, is they do all kinds of things, kind of like Mythbusters. They just like to blow things up in the end. Well, it doesn't quite work. Or at least it's not safe. It's not a guarantee. If you want to strap your car to a rocket, you notice nobody got in that one. They weren't brave enough to, you know, put their life on the line, and good thing, they wouldn't have made it. That's the problem. We want to be safe. We want to be secure. It's much, much safer to be traveling around on four wheels down here. Why on earth would we want to give all that up? Do something completely crazy. Point ourselves in a completely different direction. And take off toward the heavens, not knowing what will come next. Not everyone wants to be converted. We like the idea. We want to be converted, but we want to be a conversion fan. We want to be faster, nicer, slicker, more comfortable, more safe. All the amenities, but none of the risk. We don't really want to be changed. We want to live better lives, but we don't want to surrender our lives to Christ. We want to change a few things that we want to make better, but we don't want to change every part of our life, saying, God, you take control. We don't want to leave ourselves exposed and vulnerable, because what if we end up like that Reliant Robin? Don't want to go all in. Don't want to push all our poker chips into the center of the table because we might lose. Let's keep some back. But true conversion, true dedication, true surrender to Christ is just that, going all in. And saying, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm committed. Not because I'm so sure I can build myself a rocket, but because I am sure I can trust my Lord and Savior to guide me, lead me, mold me, and shape me into what He wants for me and for my life. We don't mind a few upgrades, but a complete change of our attitude in life? That's just crazy. Well, welcome to Christianity. It's supposed to be crazy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Paul's saying that, you know, the gospel is foolishness to the Gentiles and a stumbling block to the Jews. And that was the whole of the world. You were either Gentile or Jew. Jew, a little bitty segment. Gentile, everybody else. And Paul is saying, you know, the gospel is not popular. The gospel is not well received. The gospel is not this, you know, easily described logical chain of events that you can convince someone, and okay, we can, you know, if we just present in the right way, everybody would become a Christian. I mean, Paul definitely desires that. But he says people have trouble with it. The bulk of the world doesn't really want it because the bulk of the world doesn't want to be changed. It's foolishness to the Gentiles. They just can't grasp how this offshoot of the Jewish religion, how this Messiah that was actually killed and crucified, how he could be a god. And a stumbling block to the Jews because, well, very similarly, they were expecting that Messiah, but not to look like Christ and not to die on that cross. And they were wanting God to send His King, but for God to send His Son, that was something else entirely. And so it was offensive to them. That's what stumbling block means, a rock of offense. Christianity has always been just a little bit crazy. Maybe more than a little bit. And so it should go against our natural inhibitions to become a Christian. Well, we want to live that good, nice, neat, solid, comfortable life, yes, but Christianity doesn't necessarily offer that. Christianity is surrendering yourself to the unknown, saying, God, you take control. I'm yours. Use me in whatever way you see fit. I'm just along for the ride. It's submission. It's self-sacrifice. It's vulnerability. It's total reliance on someone else to do their job, to do it for you. It's called faith. Now, why would someone get in that silly car strapped to a rocket?
Not because they were smart. But someone might just have enough faith to trust. Now, I personally wouldn't have gotten in that rocket, I admit. But I'm still strapped to one in the spiritual sense when I'm strapped myself to Christ. It's not meant to be, we're not meant to be in control and comfortable in Christianity. We're not meant to be safe. And the Chronicles of Narnia, a book written by C.S. Lewis, that is a fantasy book about lions and witches and battles and all kinds of things, but it definitely corresponds to these truths of Christianity. He wrote it for that purpose. And Aslan is the counterpart to Christ. And Aslan is a lion. And whenever the kids first get to Narnia, they're in trouble and they're running and they're scared and they need help. And they meet a beaver who talks to them. And the beaver says, well, we'll get Aslan. You know, well, go find Aslan and he'll help us. He'll be exactly what we need. And he goes on to explain that he's a lion. And the girl's taken aback. Well, is he safe? And the beaver's response is great because it's, no, he's not safe. He's a lion. But he is good. And I think C.S. Lewis, in that little blurb there, very well describes that this portion of Christianity we're talking about this morning is, it's not meant to be safe, but it is good. Christ himself is not safe. I mean, that's not why the apostles joined him. The apostles, they were taking big risks hanging out with this leader of a rebellion. In their eyes, it's what he was. And Peter said, I'll die for you, Lord. And he pulled out his sword to prove it. And swung and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He was ready for war. He was ready for battle. He wasn't wanting safety. He was wanting a revolution. Well, Christ brought a revolution, not a physical one in this world, which come and go every day, but a revolution of life eternal. We're against conquering, overthrowing the reign of sin and death. And that's not safe. Being a Christian, as many people have pointed out, puts you right in the line of sight and the target of Satan. If you're not a Christian, he's not too concerned about you. You're on his side. You're doing what he wants already. But to become a Christian, you are putting a big target on your chest, saying, all right, Satan, have at it. I'm not with you anymore. It's not meant to be. It's never intended to be safe. Think of that one driver, you know. We all know one. That one driver you don't want to get in the car with. It could be, well, like my grandfather was. Last time I remember riding with him, it was terrifying. He was past the point whenever he should have been driving, and we were taking a road trip, and it was unnerving. I think I was in the front seat. My mom later told me while she was in the back seat, she closed her eyes and just prayed the whole time. So maybe she's the reason why we made it out alive. I don't know. But I was holding on to my door handle with pretty white knuckles. And he wanted to hold on to that independence. And he wanted to hold on to that pride that he was still a good driver and didn't need any help and was going to do it himself. But he had reached that point where he wasn't quite the driver he used to be. And everybody does, and that's often a difficult transition. But it might be the teenage kid you don't want to get in the car with. Or it might be that person that, well, maybe never grew up, likes to go fast and not follow the rules, or just oblivious to people around them. Ridden with people like that, whenever they drive, they're not quite observant of things going on. And you know, if they need to switch lanes, they'll switch lanes. It's the other person's responsibility to move, get out of the way. So we've probably all ridden with somebody like that, and might be even a few of us here, although we'll never admit it. That one comedic line of the one thing that unites all the human race is that we're above average drivers. We at least believe that we are. But we all know that's someone we don't want to ride with. That's Christ. He's not the safe one. He's not the calm one. And the thing is, if I'm bleeding, if I have got an artery cut and I'm bleeding out, or if I have some other major trauma wrong with me, you know, we call the ambulance, but the ambulance is not available, I'm going to want to ride to the hospital. And if it's that critical, I don't want the safe driver. I don't want the one who's going to, you know, sit calmly at all the stoplights and leave, you know, so many car lengths in front of him. I'm going to want the one zipping in and out of traffic, maybe cutting other people off, risking his life, maybe to save mine. Well, that's Christ. We just don't realize how dire a situation we're in, that our soul is on the line. And so he straps us to a rocket and says, hang on. You don't want this life down here anymore. You want the life that's headed for there. You want a completely different life. He's not safe and comfortable and gentle. He was considered a lunatic and a drunkard and a friend of lowlifes. And angry mobs tried to either crown him king or turn around and stone him. And he was eventually crucified and killed for his radical thoughts and radical teachings. Why would you want to put your life in someone's hands like that? Because you trust not what he does, but you trust who he is. It might not make sense, all the things that he does or did, but if we believe that he's the Son of God, and that is our primary motivation, if that is our conversion, I want to be converted to the fact that he is the Son of God, then it doesn't matter whether he's safe or not. It doesn't matter whether he's comfortable or not. It doesn't matter whether he's filled with the knowledge we would want or not. Because he's our Lord and our King and our Savior, and we trust him. I'm going to read a quote to you by Rich Mullins. We have two songs in our songbook by Rich Mullins, at least two I know of. Awesome God and Step by Step. He wrote both of those. He was a Christian musician, but he was different. He was an oddball. He didn't quite fit in with either the music industry or many of the Christians and churches he was part of. He had a hard time fitting in, and eventually he was living and working on an Indian reservation whenever he was in a car accident and killed, fairly in his early 40s, so still pretty young. But there's an interview with him, and I found this quote out of that interview when asking about just toward the end of his life, and he was on the reservation, and one impressive thing he did is all of his album sales and all the revenue that he would have gotten being a singer, songwriter, performer, all went to his church, every last dime of it, and he simply had his church write him a check every month for the average salary of the United States. That's all he wanted. That's says something about his character there. I really appreciate many things about Rich Mullins. And I don't agree with everything, but I want to read a quote to you. This is about someone who had trouble fitting in, I think because he recognized that you aren't supposed to fit in. This I know will go against the teaching of the popular evangelical preachers, but they're just wrong. They're not bad, they're just wrong. Christianity is not about building an absolutely secure little niche in the world where you can live with your perfect little wife and your perfect little children in a beautiful little house where you have no gays or minority groups anywhere near you. Christianity is about learning to love like Jesus loved, and Jesus loved the poor, and Jesus loved the broken. And it trailed off at that point. You don't get to hear the rest of what he said. He did something that would be crazy to a lot of us. Now here, God gave him this wonderful gift of singing and becoming fairly famous even with his Christian albums and the selling of his songs and that are in our songbook even. You know, why would he just turn it all over? Why would he go live on a reservation all by himself, you know, and stop touring around the country and those kind of, well, why? He's a little bit crazy. And that wasn't a bad thing. Because Christ is a little bit crazy. And he didn't necessarily want that normal, safe, predictable, solid life. There's a place for that. I'm not saying we all need to pack up and go live on an Indian reservation or, you know, go off into the tribes of New Guinea or anything like that. No. There is a place for Christianity can be wherever you are. It can be at your job. It can be at your house, with your family, at your home. But are you wanting that to be nice, safe, and secure? Is that your reason for following God? Because He provides that safety and security and stability. If that's the reason, you're not a rocket. And we're supposed to be. We're supposed to follow Christ and turn it all over. Say, I will receive whatever blessings You give, Lord. We can want and desire and use and maintain that family and our jobs and our houses and that stable part of life and be thankful for every day of it. But not that but not have that be our priority. And not have that be our point of reference, because that's down here. And that's all going to be gone one day. We want to be headed there, regardless of what it means. Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 32. What Carlos read for us. Jesus has those moments where He talks about comfort and compassion and stability and assurance and hope. So this sermon doesn't discount any of that. I'm just trying to level it out a little bit. Some of the things we might ignore about Christ. Whoever acknowledges Me before others, I will acknowledge before My Father in heaven, but whoever disowns Me before others, I will disown before My Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. Not come to bring safety and security. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. No, this is not talking about safety and stability and security and having this nice little happy home. I hope your home is full of joy and the blessings that God provides, but don't let that be your goal and your priority, because it may not be Christ's. He wants you with Him. And He wants you to bring as many others with you as you can to Him. Providing you, leading others, working on them, working on all of us all at the same time. But He's not necessarily after peace and security and stability. That's not His goal. That's not why He died on the cross. He died to save your soul from hell. Whoever finds their life, verse 38, whoever does not take up their cross and follow Me is not worthy of Me. Taking up your cross is not safe, because there's only one function of a cross. It's to be killed on. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for My sake will find it. That's not safety and security and stability. He's saying, give it all up and trust Me. Get in the rocket and take a chance. And the good news is, we didn't build it. I didn't build it. If I built it, it'd be doomed. But He did. And I need to trust His workmanship and His workmanship in me and say, okay. Now, no one climbs Mount Everest because it's safe. People have died up there. And even if they haven't died, they've lost fingers and toes and noses by the time they've come back down. And none of the astronauts went to the moon because it was safe. NASA tried to make it as safe as possible for Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and all the others that made it. But they didn't go because it was going to be safe. They went because it was going to be worth it. No. Why are we here? Why do we want Christ? Hopefully it's because He's worth it. Imagine our parking lot for a minute. It's full of cars, just like the parking lots of everywhere else is full of cars. What if it looked like this? There we go. This. That's a picture of a Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral. All the Don't know if those are real rockets that were just never used, or whether those are just mock-ups, or I'm not sure, never been there. But imagine if our parking lot was full of rockets. People drive by and go, that place is crazy. Well, there was a man who built a boat on dry land, and everybody walked by and said, that man's crazy. But he knew what was coming. And he and his family were saved. We're not supposed to be normal and stable in this life. We're supposed to be looking forward to the next one. Now, don't go trade in your car for a rocket. Even if you have a pretty expensive car, I'm pretty sure you couldn't afford it. But strap yourself to Christ and hang on tight. And be willing for that to be what you want more than anything else. For that to be your conversion. Lord, take me. I'm yours. Do with me what you will. Not because it's safe, not because it's comfortable, not because it fits in well with my plans or my ideas. The only reason, because you're Lord and I'm not. I want to be ready to break free of the bonds of this world. All we're waiting on is a signal from Mission Control. I got one laugh, thank you. All we're waiting on is just the word, the countdown. We know where we're headed. Safety in this life is not our prerogative. If God wants to bless us with safety and security, now we can praise Him for that. Praise Him for the fact that we can worship here in safety and security, free from harm or persecution. And that we can work and live in a free country. All those are great blessings. But it's not why we need to become a Christian. Because there's something inherently unsafe about Christ. And we have to embrace it. Embrace it because it's not safe. Not supposed to be safe. He's good. Truly good. He's perfect. And exactly what we need. So we offer the invitation this morning to be converted to Christ. Don't let anything else drive you. If you want something in this world, just stay where you are. Stay in your seat, nice and comfortable, nice and safe. If you want to take a risk and say, I want Christ, there'll be many risks more, at least if this world would perceive it, but we're following in faith, knowing that nothing to fear. Our Lord's in control. If you want to give your life to Him this morning, no time better. And if you need help, because maybe this life can get a little bit too crazy now and then, and you need some strength and support from others who are strapped to their rockets, we'll gladly pray for you, encourage you, help you, whatever we can do. We're here for Christ, and we hope you want to be as well. Won't you come as we stand and sing?